As I look at you this evening, I can see many young men with their valiant fathers and loyal priesthood leaders seated side by side. These fathers and leaders are ready to pay the price, yes, even sacrifice, for the success of you young men. In the spirit of sacrifice, I recall a conversation I had some years ago with my stake president in Idaho. We were discussing the forthcoming Aaronic Priesthood Scout camp out. I explained to him that it would be necessary for each person to bring his own sleeping bag, to which he responded, "I've never slept in a sleeping bag." I said, "President, you can't be serious. Here you've lived in Idaho all these years, and you've never slept in a sleeping bag?" "Nope," he said, "I never have, but I've sure laid in a lot of them." And then he went on to say, "And I'll lay in a whole bunch more of them if it'll help to save boys." Now, I'd like to talk with you this evening about sacrifice, and the sacrifice I'd like to talk to you about is the sacrifice that accompanies missionary service. Since the beginning, our Heavenly Father has called worthy servants to go into the world to proclaim the gospel and to testify of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Many of those who have fulfilled their callings have done so with considerable sacrifice. Let me tell you of four who served their missions long ago. They are Ammon, Aaron, Omner, Omer, and Himni, sons of Mosiah the king. They had become so powerfully converted that they wanted everyone to hear the gospel message. From the Book of Mormon, we read, "They were desirous that salvation should be declared to every creature, for they could not bear that any human soul should perish, yea, even the very thoughts that any soul should endure endless torment did cause them to quake and tremble. They pled with their father that they might go and do missionary work among the Lamanites. Now Father Mosiah feared for his son's safety in the land of their enemy. And King Mosiah went and inquired of the Lord if he should let his sons go up among the Lamanites to preach the word. The first part of the Lord's answer might not have been exactly what Mosiah wanted to hear. The Lord said unto Mosiah, 'Let them go up.' But then follows three marvelous promises. The first, 'Many shall believe on their words.' And the second, 'I will deliver thy sons out of the hands of the Lamanites.' And then the third, 'They shall have eternal life.'" Now, he did not promise them great wealth, but he did promise the greatest of all the gifts of God, eternal life. Can you imagine a more marvelous promise for faithful missionaries? The four sons of Mosiah did not choose the easy course. Their choice was neither convenient nor was it popular. They gave up the kingship. Mosiah had no one to confer the kingdom upon. They were all on missions. Serving a mission wasn't necessarily accepted. They were ridiculed even by other members of the church. Ammon recalls the experience. "Now do you remember, my brethren, that we said unto our brethren in the land of Zarahemla, 'We go up to the land of Nephi to preach unto our brethren, the Lamanites.' And they laughed us to scorn." Their choice to serve a mission was not one of convenience. Ammon spoke of the challenges they encountered. "We have been cast out and mocked and spit upon and smote upon our cheeks and taken and bound with strong cords and cast into prison." However, Ammon continues, "Through the power and wisdom of God, we have been delivered again." They were not easy missions, but thousands were converted. Now let's look to another set of missionaries, closer to our time, the time of the Restoration, there was considerable persecution from enemies in and outside the church. At a time when it appeared that the prophet needed them at home, two of the apostles, Brigham Young and Heber C. Kimball, were called on foreign missions. The following is Elder Heber C. Kimball's historic account of the pathetic setting at his departure. I went to the bed and shook hands with my wife, who was shaking with the ague, having two children lying sick by her side. I embraced her and my children and bid them farewell. The only child well was little Heber Parley, and it was with difficulty he could carry a 2-quart pail of water from a spring at the bottom of a small hill to assist in quenching their thirst. It was with difficulty we got into the wagon and started down the hill, about 10 rods. It appeared to me as though my inmost parts would melt within me, leaving my family in such a condition, as it were, almost in the arms of death. It seemed to me as though I could not endure it. I said to the teamster, "Hold up." I said to Brother Brigham, "This is pretty tough, ain't it? Let's rise up and give them a cheer." We arose, and swinging our hats 3 times over our heads, we cried, "Hurrah, hurrah, hurrah for Israel." My wife, hearing the noise, arose from her bed and came to the door. She had a smile on her face, and she and Marianne Young cried out to us, "Goodbye. God bless you." We returned the compliment and then told the driver to go ahead. After this, I felt a spirit of joy and gratitude at leaving and the satisfaction of seeing my wife standing upon her feet instead of leaving her in bed, knowing as I did that I should not see them again for 2 or more years. This was one of 4 missions that these 2 apostle missionaries served. Now to the present, for an interview I had with a young, handsome zone leader in the São Paulo, Brazil, Interlagos mission. I said to the missionary, "Tell me about your family." He then relayed the following. He was born into a wealthy family. His father had a responsible position in a multinational corporation. They had moved from Brazil to Venezuela. He was one of 7 children, all members of the church. When the missionary was 15 years old, his father was shot and killed by a fleeing thief. In a family council, it was decided to return to Brazil and invest their savings in the purchase of a modest home. 1.5 years later, the mother informed the children that she had been diagnosed with cancer. The family used valuable savings to help to pay the medical expenses, but to no avail. 6 months later, the mother passed away, leaving the young family alone. Our young missionary, Elder Boogs, now 16 years old, went to work, first selling clothing, then later computer supplies. He used his hard-earned money to support the young family. He said, "We were always blessed to have enough to eat. I would work during the day, then help the children with their studies at night. I especially miss my little sister. I taught her to read." Elder Boogs, I continued. And Elder Boogs continued, "Then the bishop invited me to come in for an interview, and he called me on a mission. I told him I would need to speak with my family first. In our family council, they reminded me that Dad had always taught us that we should be prepared to serve the Lord as full-time missionaries. I accepted the call. When I received my letter from the prophet, I withdrew all my savings. I bought a new suit, a pair of pants, white shirts and ties, and a new pair of shoes. I gave the rest of the money to the bishop, enough for about 4 months of support for the family. I hugged my little family and left for my mission. I looked at that brave young man and I said, "But elder, with you away, who's taking care of your family?" "Oh," he said, "my brother's 16. He's the same age I was when our mother died. He's taking care of the family now." I had the opportunity recently to talk by telephone with Elder Boogs. He's been home from his mission for 6 months now. When I asked him how he was doing, he said, "I have a good job again, and I'm caring for the family. But oh, how I miss my mission. It was the greatest thing I have ever done. I'm now helping my younger brother prepare for his mission." Why have these great missionaries and others like them been willing to sacrifice the comforts of home, family, loved ones, and sweethearts to answer the call to serve? It's because they have a testimony of Jesus Christ. And when they know him, there is no bed too short or too hard, no climate too hot or too cold, no food too different or language so strange that they are unwilling to serve him. No sacrifice is too great to serve the Master who sacrificed his all to provide the way for his brothers and sisters to return home to their Heavenly Father. And because they are faithful to their callings, thousands will revere their names throughout the eternities. I testify there is no more majestic call than to be in the full-time service of our Redeemer, to help to bring our Heavenly Father's children to the knowledge of him who has made eternal life possible. I pray that every young man and every capable couple will join those who have paid the price to serve a full-time mission. And this I pray in the name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.